To you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning is Easter at the Boondocks. Finding our theme in Mark 16, 5-7, which reads, "And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right wearing a white robe, and they were amazed. And he said to them, 'Do not be amazed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth. He has been crucified, but he has risen. He's not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. Now go and tell his disciples.'" So far the text. Today's sermon is not a typical sermon. And so if you are a person who frequents our congregation regularly, you're looking in the bulletin for a sermon outline, yeah, I ain't gonna find one today. Today is not a typical sermon because Easter is not a typical day. And on this day, this sermon is a story sermon. A story sermon that's going to be more told than it will be preached. But this story sermon proclaims the Easter message, I hope, in a way you've never considered it before. Again, our title is Easter at the Boondocks. Easter arrived just 4 months after David was installed as the brand new pastor at St. Paul's Lutheran Church. He completed his Easter sermon early Saturday morning, and he told his wife Doris, "Behold, it is very good." And Doris said, "You like your sermon, do you? What's it about?" "Well," David said, "I based it on some complex theological ideas from the great German scholar Paul Tillich." And Doris just shook her head, but David didn't even notice. "You know, actually, it isn't totally a new sermon. I preached something like it in seminary, and all my classmates thought it was great." Early Saturday evening, David drove to church, where the youth group was practicing their parts for the Easter sunrise service. And when rehearsal was over, Rich Peterson, who all the kids in the youth group called Tiny because he's 6'5" and in grade 9, asked the pastor, "Can you give me a ride home?" "Well, I don't know where you live, Tiny." "That's okay, Pastor. I know where I live." The Peterson home, which was located at the end of Pleasant Ridge, was easy to find with Tiny giving directions. But once David dropped Tiny off and waved goodbye, he couldn't remember whether to turn right at the end of the road or left when he got to the crossroads or the other way around. As a new pastor in the area, he was still learning his way around. And it had only taken 10 minutes to get to the Petersons' home. But a half hour after he waved goodbye, David was hopelessly lost driving down a deserted road. And when the engine began to sputter and the car stopped, he also knew he was out of gas. It was 10 p.m., Holy Saturday evening. He had failed to tell Doris where he was going. He was lost, he was out of gas, and so he did what any self-respecting man would do. He got out of the car and kicked the tires of the car. And then he began to walk. 10 minutes later, he came to a fork in the road, and he saw some lights flashing ahead. Soon he could read the sign, the neon sign that read, "The Boondocks." Everyone, including somebody new to the community like David, knew that the Boondocks was one of the seediest taverns in the whole area. When he arrived, the first thing he saw in the parking lot were a group of rusty cars and pickup trucks with gun racks in the back. He also noticed 6 shiny Harley Davidsons with the extended forks. Both groups of vehicles made him a little nervous. Inside, he could hear a jukebox playing a country western tune, a Merle Haggard number. He took a deep breath, and he walked in the front door. The rancid smell of spilled beer and cigarette smokes filled the air. David looked around, and he didn't recognize anybody. He wasn't sure if this was good or this was bad. He wondered what his members would think if they learned their new pastor had spent Holy Saturday evening at the Boondocks. Oh, especially the women of the Missionary Society. But he walked to the bar, and he knew that every eye was upon him. "What do you have?" barked the bartender. What David wanted was a ride home and quick. But he found himself saying, "I'll have a Coke." The bartender then frowned at him. Evidently, there weren't a lot of soft drinks served at the Boondocks. Over in the corner, there were a few men in leather jackets, playing pool. David walked over, intending to ask about a ride home, but before he knew it, he was in the middle of a game. David's father, who sold sporting goods equipment, taught David to play pool when he was six. Now, normally, he was a good player. But this night, he was excellent. Everything he hit went in. Twice, he cleared the table at the break. The call went across the room, "Turk, we got ourselves a hot shot here." David watched as a man who was about 5'8" and weighed well over 250 pounds took off his leather jacket, got up, gently removed his personal cue from a velvet-lined case, and growled, "Set him up." Turk was good, but that night David was even better. When David beat Turk 3 games in a row, the big man snarled, "Shark, you're too good for me. I'll buy you a drink." David ordered another Coke and realized that he'd won some admiration and a new nickname, Shark. But soon, the inevitable question came. "What do you do for a living, Shark?" David took a deep breath. Should he tell him the truth or should he lie? Well, after all, it was Holy Saturday. And he took a drink of his Coke. "I'm the new Lutheran pastor in town." There was shocked silence around the table. And then the men began to laugh. "We got ourselves a preacher here. Hey, this fella makes house calls. Welcome to St. Boondocks. This ought to really increase business on Saturday night." Suddenly, a voice silenced the crowd. "Shut up! Some of us more sensitive types want to talk religion." The mood changed immediately. One by one, the men told their stories. Some had gone through confirmation but hadn't been in church in years. Others told how the members of the church treated them with contempt. They were certain they'd never be welcome at worship. Finally, it was Turk's turn. "Well, Shark, me, I never been to church," he said, looking down at the table. "You see, my mother never got married, so when I was born, people told her we weren't good enough for any church around here. I never been to Sunday school either. All I learned about the Bible is from TV. You know, I've seen that movie, The Ten Commandments, at least 5 or 6 times. Still, I don't know much." He sadly looked at David and then said, "You know, I don't even know what Easter is all about." There suddenly was silence at the Boondocks. Every eye shifted to the pastor. He realized that Turk had offered him an invitation. Now, should he tell him the Easter message he prepared about the complex theological ideas from the great German scholar? No. He looked into the eyes and faces of the men wearing the leather jackets who put their pool cues down, and he said to them, "Jesus was born in a little town about 2,000 years ago. His mother wasn't married at the time. Later, when he became a preacher, people held this against him. They asked, how could God speak through a guy with such questionable background? But it was clear that God did speak through him. Only later they would learn, though they didn't want to believe, that Jesus was true God who became a human being born of his virgin mother, Mary." David continued, During his life, Jesus traveled from town to town, telling people about the love and the justice and the mercy of God, and he also healed those who were sick. But the folks who were rich and famous and in power wanted nothing to do with them. But Jesus enjoyed the company of those people who others called sinners. Many of Jesus' closest friends were those rejected by others in society. The stories he told often surprised people because he told how in God's eyes, many whom others to be considered worthless and no good were especially precious to God. He taught that God loved everyone, rich and poor, good and bad, in church, out of church. He taught that there is forgiveness for sins and a welcome place for anyone who has strayed away from God. David took a sip of his Coke, and then he continued. During most of his life, Jesus lived in northern Israel, a pretty backwater place by most standards. But after 3 years of preaching in the north, he decided to go to the capital city, to Jerusalem. And when he entered the holy city on Palm Sunday, there was a massive celebration with hundreds of people waving their palms in a parade. He said, it's like a parade we throw for Stanley Cup champs. But as the popularity of Jesus grew, so did the opposition from the people in power. They managed to bribe one of his friends named Judas to discover where they could find Jesus alone. And one night on a Thursday when he was praying alone in a garden, they came and arrested him. They tried him in court, but the trial was crooked. It was a set-up job. The religious leaders wanted him out of the way so badly that they lied. They found him guilty and sentenced to death, and the soldiers put a fake robe on him, and they mocked him. They shoved down on his head a crown of thorns until he bled, and they said, O thou King of the Jews. Finally, they nailed his hands to a wooden cross and his feet as well, and they crucified him. It was a death reserved for the worst part of criminals. The pastor paused and noticed his congregation in the boondocks. He had never had such an attentive audience in church before. He continued, as Jesus hung in the blazing sun, all of his friends ran away. Only one guy and a few women remained, and within 3 hours, this gentle, loving Jesus died. They took him down from a cross, and a stranger came and got his body and put it in a tomb like a cave in a hillside. David could see that tears were clouding several of the eyes of the men in the boondocks. But the pastor continued. It looked like Jesus' enemies had won. It looked like another victory for the system. It looked like the devil was jumping for joy. Now, that was on a Friday, David said. But Sunday was coming. Early Sunday morning, three women, including Mary Magdalene, that many people thought was a prostitute in her earlier life, came to the tomb to pay respect to Jesus' body. But even though they found that soldiers had been guarding the grave and a rock was rolled in front of it, when they got there, the cave was empty. And an angel appeared and said to them that Jesus was not dead, he was arisen. And they were now to go tell his friends that he was risen and he would soon meet them. At this point, Turk interrupted him and said, Shark, you mean to tell me that this Jesus would still speak to those jerks? Now, excuse me, Reverend, but they were rotten. They left him when he needed them most. David nodded. That's the kind of Savior he is. That's the kind of God he is. He treats us as God treats us. God loves us even when we're unfaithful. God loves us even when we forget him or ignore him or see him only once a year. God forgives us even when we betray him. Turk, that's why we call this teaching the gospel, the good news. Turk shook his head. Shark, that's a crazy story. Turk, this is a crazy world. Our God turns losing into winning. He turns Jesus' life, he turns Jesus' death into life and victory. By Jesus' death on the cross and his rising from the grave, our sins are forgiven. And if we believe in him, though we die, we shall live. And those who die will live forever with him in heaven. One of the men in the back said, "Preach, I remember something we memorized in Sunday school about that when I was a little boy. It goes like this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." David smiled and said, "That about sums it up." A few minutes later, David told Turk about his car problem and that he was out of gas. Turk said, "No problem. We'll have you going in no time." "But there are no gas stations open," David said. "No problem, Shark. I got me a siphon." And a few minutes later, after a brief visit with a pickup parked in back, David had enough gas with good directions to find his way home. It was 1 o'clock in the morning when David finally got home, and David told his wife, Doris, "You'll never believe what happened to me." And she didn't. But Doris said, "But you got to get some sleep, honey. You got to get up in just a few hours." David shook his head. "No, I got to rewrite my sermon." He figured, if a sermon wouldn't preach at the Boondocks on Saturday night, he had no business to preach it on Sunday morning in church. Now, that morning from the pulpit, he didn't talk about any hard-to-understand, complex theological ideas and $25 words. He simply told them the story of the death and the resurrection of Jesus and his love for all sinners. And people in his new church thought the sermon was pretty good. But what really got him talking was a strange group of visitors who parked 6 shiny Harley Davidson motorcycles in the front of the church and who sat right in front pew under the pulpit. And when one of the ushers asked who they were, a big man, about 5'8 and 250, who looked most uncomfortable in his brand new suit, growled, "We're friends of Shark." There is an ancient tradition in the church. The leader proclaims, "He is risen," and the congregation responds, "He is risen indeed." He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen.
He
is risen indeed.
Jesus is risen for you. Your sins are forgiven. No one is excluded from the love and mercy of God. He is risen.
He is risen.
And that's the good news today at the Boondocks. And that's the good news today here for each of us. Blessed Easter, Turk. Blessed Easter, Shark. Blessed Easter, one and all, in the name of Jesus. Amen.